Well, well, here we are.
How can we love our country and not love our countrymen?
I have really nothing to, how do you answer that?
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills!
Hello, you speak English, sir? Parlo, usted inglés?
All right, people, we're going to try something a little different today.
We are a nation that has a government, not the other way around.
Don't mess with the bull, young man. You'll get the horns.
I cannot solve your problem, sir. Only you can.
We, as Americans, have the capacity now, as we've had in the past, to do whatever needs to be done to preserve this last and greatest bastion of freedom.
Discussing the issues that actually matter. Finding the answers using logic and reason. KLZ 560 presents Rush to Reason. Now here is your host, John Rush.
And I'm your host, John Rush, Rush to Reason, KLZ 560. Thanks for joining us today. I do appreciate it very much. We are now in our final hour of the show. Dr. Andrew Myers joining us now. Been on with us before, so Dr. Myers, welcome back to Rush to Reason. I appreciate you taking time to join us.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so the book, Simplifying the COVID Puzzle, How Two Essential Vitamins Fortify the Immune System. And I guess first question, and you've got a great history when it comes to these things and even simplifying, just terms and explanations to those of us that I would, myself, Dr. Myers, is a novice. I don't have any medical, degree. And about the only thing I've ever done is interview folks like you. That's probably the biggest way that I learn these things because I have no medical background whatsoever. So you do a great job of explaining things. That's one of the things you're an expert in. So my question, and it's really something that I think a lot of people have on their mind, why do some people have a more difficult time with COVID than others?
Okay, that's a great question, and let's start with the basics. It has to do with your immune system. And one of the things that our research uncovered is that certain nutritional deficiencies impact the functioning, strength, and relative competency of our body's own defense mechanism, i.e. our immune system.
Okay.
And what we discovered and what we talk about in the book is the fact that two simple nutrients, vitamin D and vitamin K2, are essential nutrients. They're deficient in most of the population.
Okay.
And when you have optimal levels of vitamins D and vitamin K2, number one, your susceptibility to COVID is reduced. And number two, if you do get the virus, your severity of illness is also reduced. One of the things that I can also tell you is that if you have enough vitamin K2 on board, your chances of having long-haul symptoms are also going to be reduced. And this is all based on research that I completed with my co-author in Cleveland, Ohio, at the University Hospital System. So it's a very simple and straightforward logical approach, which I know you love the logic,
mm-hmm.
and it has to do with our body's own defense mechanism. Make it strong, make it solid, and guess what? You can fight off one of the 300 trillion viruses that are in the virome that surround us, including COVID. You have a much better chance.
Okay, so are you like I in believing that, and this is just, again, my belief, I'm going to find out if you're the same way, that if we would have spent as much time focusing on helping people understand what to eat, what supplements to take, where to even find them, or in a lot of cases, Dr. Myers, providing them to these individuals that maybe couldn't afford them, would we not have been a lot better off through this quote-unquote pandemic doing that versus all of the other things we worried about, masks, distancing, on and on we go, which, frankly, I don't know had much to do with keeping people safe, by the way?
Okay, so yes, I agree with you 100%. We missed a huge opportunity at the front end of this pandemic. And it didn't have to be a pandemic. It could have been an epidemic in the United States if we had stepped back and said, we need to focus on treatment. We need to focus on the things that are hygienic, that are going to prevent virus spread. And guess what? We learned more about the virus. We learned that surfaces weren't as important as we thought they
right.
once were, that it was more airborne, and so masks maybe had a bigger a role to play than necessarily, disinfecting everything that was touched.
Right.
But the reality is if we had said, We know that 60% of our population is probably deficient in vitamin D. It's a readily available nutrient that can be purchased at any major retailer in America. We're going to recommend that everybody start taking vitamin D, and because of its unique relationship with vitamin K2, we're going to make sure that every major retailer stocks that as well. Yes, I believe we could have had better outcomes because we would have focused on supporting the natural defenses of the body, which when deficient means that you're susceptible, whether you are young, old, overweight, underweight, all of those things we proved to be not correlated. So it didn't matter in our research whether you were overweight, underweight, male, female, old, young. Independently, deficiency of D and deficiency of vitamin K2 were related to susceptibility and severity.
When I read through, and I just did a really quick search as you were talking, you know, I will look through the different foods that are, commonly available to us. It's interesting as I go through the list, and I, by the way, I'm not saying that I did this on purpose. It's just kind of, I think, my, you know, natural diet, Dr. Myers. As I look through all these things that help you with D and K2, I'm probably eating 2/3 of what's in that list, and maybe that's why I've had no issues with COVID.
Well, if you eat a healthy diet, that is the first step to being nutritionally sufficient. The problem is, unlike you, John, most people don't eat a healthy diet, and therefore the simple solution is just to add in supplementation and to promote healthy diet. You can tell people, eat your vegetables, eat your fruit, eat your dark leafy greens, get a well-balanced, well-rounded diet. Many people aren't going to take you up on that opportunity. But if you say, eat a healthy diet or try and eat a healthy diet, and in the meantime, let's back you up with some supplementation, you can get a doubling of benefit in terms of the response. Yep. And that's part of what we missed, and that was an opportunity that was right there in front of us in all of the published research from around the world.
I'm guessing, too, that we could have really changed people's entire, you know, diets, eating habits, and so on, had we focused more on some of those things versus what we did. I did have a caller call in and ask, was zinc a factor in any of this? We've heard a lot about zinc when it comes to COVID. Was that a factor or not?
Absolutely. So I can only speak to the research that I've completed, but the research that I review, and I review literally, 30, 40 studies a week at a minimum. Sometimes it's 100 studies a week. The nutrients that we needed to focus on and still do to build a healthy immune system, vitamin D, vitamin K2, zinc, selenium, magnesium, and vitamin C. Those six nutrients are the foundation in terms of supporting optimal immune system function.
So, a dumb question on my end. If that's the case, why to this day are we still not focusing on this and helping people?
Because they're not drugs. Because we are a magic bullet-driven medical society. And to be honest, the conventional physician is not trained in nutrition. Mm. They're not trained to trust the research in nutrition. And in many cases, they don't believe that the basic foundation of our health is really our diet. They would rather focus on treating symptoms instead of causes. And this is why, overall, John, our medical system is somewhat broken and off track.
Agree.
And that's just the reality.
I agree. And I think, for me, Dr. Myers, and again, I have no training in what you're doing whatsoever. I'm a car guy. I mean, I understand the car side of the fence probably better than most, and have a program even that we do and talk about those things as well. But Dr. Myers, I have common sense. And what I do know is this, and again, not trying to poke at anybody, not trying to, start anything with what I'm saying. But when I look at a lot of doctors that I know personally, and I look at their own health regimen, I have to believe that everything you just said is true, because evidently we don't teach the foundational things of nutrition in medical school.
No, it's not a part of the curriculum. And it's not the doctor's fault. the reality is that they practice what they learn.
Right.
And if the curriculum changed to have a focus on wellness, lifestyle, and nutrition, then that's what they would practice. But that's not what they learn, and therefore, they eschew it. They don't believe it. And when you put the research in front of them, some of them who are true scientists look at it and go, you're right. I can make a change. I can make a difference. And others say, you know what? I'm fine with my practice the way it is. The reality, though, is that we have an opportunity to change people's lives for the better by giving them more in terms of nutrition. And again, I'm not just pushing supplements. The only issue that I can see, because I'm a realist, I am a medical realist, is that you can say till you're blue in the face, eat a healthy diet, here are the foods that you need to eat to get your vitamin D and your vitamin K2. And it won't change people's nutritional status because it's too hard to change your diet in a lot of cases. Mm. And so as a medical realist, what I say is do the best you can with your diet. I want you to eat a healthy diet. I will train you, teach you, show you whatever I can to get you to eat a healthy diet. But in the meantime, take supplements so that your body is getting the nutrition that it needs. And if we had done that at the front end of COVID, guess what? We might not have seen 600 plus thousand people die because of a virus. That's what our immune system is there for, is to defend us from viruses just like this. I'm not saying COVID isn't bad.
No, me neither.
I'm not saying that it isn't a very tough virus.
I agree. But I also know, and I agree with you, that your own immune system has a huge capacity to fight off a lot of the things that we come in contact with on a regular basis. And you know, and Dr. Myers, a lot of what you just said, I firmly believe in, because I have my own self heard out of not just one, but multiple doctors' mouths over time say something to the effect of, well, you know, you ask them about vitamins and they'll say something along the lines of, well, you know, they're really not doing much. You're just peeing them right out anyways. Just, you know, just watch the color of your pee change after you have vitamins and it'll tell you right then that you're just peeing them out and they're not doing any good anyways. I've heard more than one doctor say that, Dr. Myers.
Well, and you know what? The problem with...
I lost you, Dr. Myers. Are you there?
Vitamins that are fat.
There we go. Hey, Dr. Myers, you broke up for just 1 second. Can you repeat that, please?
Yeah. The problem with that logic is that it's not correct from a physiological perspective, because there's a whole group of vitamins that are fat-soluble and are not eliminated through your urine. So, yes, water-soluble nutrients like B vitamins, they will change your urine, but the color of your urine. But what that means is they've been processed and transferred through your body. Doesn't mean that they didn't do their job. Hmm. That's just a common way for doctors to once again, excuse the phrase, poo-poo supplementation as being something that is beneath them. And yet, the research is all there. My research partner, Dr. McKenzie, she's a medical doctor. She is the head researcher at University Hospital in Cleveland. That's 18 hospitals, 1.2 million people a month. She is a convert to vitamin D and vitamin K2. Why? Because she did the research. She saw the results. She sees that when you do the science, when you look at the actual research, the story and the truth is there, and that's why we wrote the book.
Okay, so I know this isn't in notes, but I got to ask you this. When it comes to the vaccine, and I feel like we're at a point now where literally you look around and you look at the COVID numbers, and I realize there's now nervousness about other strains and so on, but setting that aside, just looking at where we're at with COVID-19, and I really feel like we're at a herd immunity point right now, and they're actually now having to do, in Colorado anyways, we're doing $1 million, you know, giveaways with the lottery to coerce people into actually getting a vaccine now. What are your feelings on this? I mean, I'm not anti-vax. I've said that numerous times on the program. If you're immune compromised or feel like it's something you need to do, then knock your socks off. I personally am not going to do it because I've gone a year and a half now with this, through all of this, Dr. Myers, without being deathly ill any way, shape, or form. I just don't see that I need a vaccine. I'm fighting it off on my own just fine. I don't think I need to change things to fight it any further. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, I think the vaccine is a very personal decision, one that has to be made as a part of a overall medical consideration. Just as you said, there are some people that really should be vaccinated. There are other people who may not need it or may not want it. The reality is, and what I'll go back to is the basics. If you're going to get the vaccine, then you want your immune system to be strong because you want the vaccine to respond in a strengthened immune system. If you take the vaccine with a deficient immune system, you are more than likely not going to get the results that you hoped for. And so one of the, again, the fallacies of this whole process for me is that it doesn't matter whether you do the vaccine or you don't if you're not taking care of your immune system. I want to be the guy who, with the help of folks like you, is delivering a message that says, start with the foundation, start with good nutrition, and support your immune system, and then whatever decision you make with regards to your continuing health care, whether that includes the vaccine or not, you're going to have a better outcome long term.
And I agree. I agree fully with what you're saying, and couldn't have said it better myself. I guess next question for you, for folks that are listening, and I appreciate your time. I know we're going a little bit longer here, but I really appreciate your time. This is really important stuff, by the way. How do folks know if they're deficient in any of those areas, or should they just count on them being so and doing what they need to build it up, period?
That's a great question. There are specialized tests, and your regular doctor, your average family physician, can do a serum vitamin D test. What I say is this. Generally speaking, we know that most of us are deficient. If you really want to understand and quantify your deficiency, ask your family physician to test you for vitamin D, zinc, selenium. These nutrients can be tested for. But what I like is the concept of the nutritional insurance policy that starts with a reasonable supplementation program on a daily basis to make sure that you're getting the nutrition that you need. And if you do that, independent of testing, what you're going to find over time is that you're going to suffer less colds, less flus, you're going to feel better, you're going to feel stronger and more impenetrable, as if you have iron, you have armor when you come in contact with individuals who are less healthy and more sickly than you. And that means you have a strong immune defense.
Okay. Makes total sense. I couldn't say the things that you said any better. I appreciate your time. I know we went a little bit long, but again, this is great information. And as COVID is, quote unquote, winding down, we also know, Dr. Myers, that this will not be the last instance of something along these lines. There will be other things that come on down the pike. And even just, regular common illnesses, colds and flu and so on, we want to have the best defense mechanism possible. And you just gave us the answers.
I am so pleased and happy to have been on the program. Thank you so much for your time. I really enjoyed it. Have a great evening.
I'll do it. Thank you, Dr. Myers. Appreciate it very much. And by the way, any of you that are interested in more of his work and, how much should I take and how deficient am I and how should I build things up and so on, just go visit his website and you'll find it all there. Again, we'll have all that information up later. You can buy the book as well, by the way, and that's the best way to probably find some of those things out. Simplifying the COVID Puzzle, How 2 Essential Vitamins Fortify the Immune System. It's all in there as well. We'll get all those links up, and I'll have them up tonight on the website, and you can check it all out there. American National Insurance is next. My insurance agent, Paul Leuenberger, would love to help you with whether it's home, auto, ATV, UTV, trailer, boat, race cars, classic cars, whatever it happens to be, Paul's there for you and can help you and hopefully at the end of the day save you money by doing things that, your own agent right now is probably not doing. 303-662-0789. That's American National Insurance.
Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance offers a rebate program unlike any other. Every year that you don't file a claim, you get a certain percentage of your money back. Just one example of how Paul Leuenberger, the personal insurance agent of John Rush, keeps your rates so low. He rewards his customers for their diligence and responsibility. Paul can also help you strategize about when to file a claim and when to pay out of pocket so you save more money in the long run. You don't want to shop online for insurance because you have no idea what you're buying. You need Paul Leuenberger with American National, the no surprises insurance agent. Call 303-662-0789. That's 303-662-0789. And ask Paul Leuenberger with American National Insurance for details about his unique rebate program for home and auto insurance. Talk to somebody with the expertise to advise you so you get the coverage you expect.
This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And again, shifting gears a little bit here, there's a bill that is, I believe, right now sitting on the governor's desk, on Polis's desk. I don't know whether he signed this or not yet. He may have by now. This was a press release I got earlier today. By the way, the press release I got was in favor of said bill, and as I read through it, I'm like, this isn't a good thing. This is not a good bill. Most likely he will sign it. And those of you that, you know, may have gotten something similar and or know about the bill and think it's a good thing, let me tell you why it's not. So the bill is to address discriminatory insurance pricing. It was SB 169. And I will tell you that while on the face, that sounds really great, that we don't want the insurance companies to discriminate. Well, that's not really what was going on here with this bill. This bill is to make it so that an insurance company can no longer use credit ratings and things like that to set pricing when it comes to policies. And the reason behind this, they claim, is because certain races, certain ethnicities, I should say, and according to this, sexual orientation, which, by the way, I doubt that's the case, but according to the sponsors of the bill, they did this because they feel like the insurance companies are singling out, if you would, those that have not as good of credit. And in some cases, that means that lack of credit, I guess you could say, is more prevalent in certain ethnicities than others. Okay, so I guess according to these legislatures and some of the statistics they've looked at, and maybe the stats are true, and frankly, if they are, they are. The stats are what they are. They wanted to, quote-unquote, make it fair so that everybody pays a fair price with their insurance. But that's not what's going to happen, folks. Now that, and again, once this gets signed, now that an insurance company can't look at your credit rating and price accordingly, guess who's going to pay more insurance? All of us. All of us. So the Consumer Federation of America, the CFA, said that the bill places a spotlight on pricing practices such as the use of credit scores, which they say tend to result in higher premiums for consumers of color. The bill, supported by State Insurance Commissioner Michael Conway, will be sent to the governor's office for signature, Governor Polis's office. Quote, this bill holds insurers accountable for systemic biases built into company practices by requiring that they test their data systems, algorithms, and models to identify unfairness that has historically been ignored or accepted. This is Michael DeLong, the CFA's insurance advocate. The bill creates a process to ensure that insure, by the way, E-N-S-U-R-E, that insurance markets are more equitable. With this enactment, Colorado has an opportunity to be a leader in the national effort to reduce systemic bias in insurance and other financial services. This is crap, by the way, folks. And why is it crap? Because all of you listening and myself will have to now write the check for this. Because historically, and insurance companies know this, it's built into their system. It's what they do. That if you don't have as good of credit, the chances of you having insurance issues and or possibly even committing insurance fraud are there. Yes, I just said that. No one else probably will say that on air, but I will. So you're not going to fix insurance rates among the poor or the disenfranchised or the black families, if you would, by doing this. All you're going to do is raise prices across the board, because insurance companies aren't going to lose money. I've talked about that a gazillion times on this program. Insurance companies don't lose money. So they go through some research, the CFA did, which is this where I got this news press release from. So they conducted research about the implications of several pricing practices by insurers that will likely be subject to review under the new bill. Noting that data show Black, Latino, and Indigenous Americans have lower credit scores on average than white Americans. Let me stop there for a minute, by the way. Why? Why do they have lower credit scores than white Americans? Credit scores don't know what color you are. How you pay your bills is factored into credit scores, how much debt you have, how you pay your bills, your income, and so on. Doesn't matter what color skin you have as to how you do those things I just mentioned. So the fact that you're black, white, yellow with pink polka dots, or an alien from Mars that shows up here and starts using credit, none of that has anything to do with your score. Your score is your score. It's raw data taken by what I just said. How do you pay your bills? How much credit do you have? How is that racist? It's not, folks. If certain individuals, and by the way, white Americans are as guilty of this as anyone, if you don't do things correctly when it comes to your credit, you're going to have a lower score than someone else that does it differently. If you don't believe me, call Kurt Rogers and ask him at Affordable Interest Mortgage. He's a specialist in this. By the way, he can help you get your score up if you need to. He can give you all sorts of little hints and tricks and tips to do so. But just because they have data that shows black, Latino, and indigenous people have lower credit scores, that's not my fault. Nor should I have to pay a higher insurance rate because of it. So the CFA pointed to data it acquired from Quadrant Insurance Services about the impact of credit history on auto insurance premiums. Using premium quotes for a 35-year-old with a perfect driving record from 10 of the largest insurers in Colorado for every zip code in the state, the CFA found that a driver with excellent credit pays an average annual premium of $592 for basic auto insurance coverage. If the driver has fair credit, their premium rises to $785, a 33% credit penalty. By the way, sounds fair to me. A good driver with poor credit sees the average annual premium increase by 72% to $1,019 for the same coverage. So the bill does not prohibit the use of credit scoring. It bans insurers from using any external consumer data or information algorithms or predictive models that disproportionately harm members of any protected class. By the way, no one needs protection on this. Insurance is insurance. If you pay your bills, you have a good credit score, and you don't have accidents, you should get a better rate. If you, on the same token, have accidents, have a bad score, and are a high risk, then you should pay more. So under the law, the insurance commissioner will adopt rules to ensure that insurance carriers' use of data and models does not lead to unfair discrimination. By the way, insurance is discriminatory. Always has been, always will be. It's why I talk about RoofMax all the time and taking care of your own roof in your way and having Dave come out and rejuvenate it and not turn in a claim. And why? Because insurance is discriminatory. How so? Because if you turn a claim in on your roof, you're going to pay a higher rate on down the road. People, this isn't rocket science. I can't believe we had to run a bill for this because we have stupid people in the world that don't understand insurance, including the legislators that pass this. Now, I don't call them stupid. They're stupid because of lots of other reasons. Here, they're very smart, like a fox. They know exactly what they're going to do here. They're going to get those that have good credit and don't have accidents to pay a higher premium for those that don't. That's the whole goal here, folks. This has nothing to do with discrimination. It has everything to do with taking from the rich and giving to the poor, or taking for those that have good credit and giving to those that don't. That's what this is about. It has nothing to do with discrimination. This is the Robin Hood of insurance. This is a joke. And of course, Kevin Polis will sign this because he will. It's who he is. We talked about this a little bit in the past as this was going through, you know, the legislature. I knew there was probably no chance of stopping it because this is what they're going to do. Get used to it, folks. The same thing will happen when it comes to homeowners and when it comes to everything else you buy as insurance, including life. Again, is it discriminatory with life insurance to be 60 years of age, a smoker in bad health that's overweight, and you have to pay a higher rate for life insurance than somebody that is of the same age, that doesn't drink, doesn't smoke, runs every day, they're in top physical health? Should that person pay less for life insurance than the other? Of course they should. It's discrimination. Yes, it is. So what? Is it fair that a 60-year-old pays higher life insurance premium than a 20-year-old? When the actuaries show that average lifespan is 80-some years old and you're 60, which means you're getting closer, and when you're 20, you're a long ways away, is it discrimination that the 60-year-old pays more for life insurance than the 20-year-old, even though they maybe they're father and son? There's something from the exact same family. They're from the same socioeconomic background. Everything else is equal, other than maybe the 60-year-old has a little more money in the bank, but he's still going to pay more for insurance than the 20-year-old. Folks, again, this is not, I repeat, this is not going to fix any kind of systemic racism anywhere, any way, shape, or form. This is all about taking money out of your pocket and putting it in someone else's. That's what this bill was about. If you'd like to call in and challenge me on this, maybe you helped write this bill. Maybe you supported this bill. Maybe you didn't look at it the same way I am. But if you know any more about SB 169 than I do, which I think I read it pretty well, this is not going to make insurance fair. All it's going to do is raise prices across the board, especially for those of us with good credit and good driving records. This is a sham, folks. We've been scammed one more time. Extreme Auto Repair is up next. Speaking of cars and insurance and all of that, get your vehicle up to speed. And again, don't be that guy on the side of the road broke down. Why? Because it's avoidable, folks. It is. It's avoidable. I know that. Why? Because I've been in this industry my entire life. Breakdowns on the side of the road are 100% avoidable. Get your vehicle into Extreme. Get things looked at. Get things taken care of. Maintain your vehicle properly, and you won't be on the side of the road. It's that simple. Go to klzradio.com. Look at Extreme there. And if you fill out the form, you'll get free wiper blades or a tire rotation. Don't forget, Cooper Tires go on a big rebate tomorrow. That's Extreme Auto Repair, 303-841-1071.
Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity. No more hopping from one mechanic to another trying to find a solution for your vehicle's persistent issue. Extreme Auto Repair has a reputation for fixing problems quickly. You bring your Nissan to the dealer because of a rattling noise. They charge you $4,000. You still hear the noise. You bring the same vehicle to Extreme Auto Repair in Parker, where Sean and his team quickly discover a broken bolt in the subframe. A known Nissan failure they have seen many times before. Real stories like this one earn Extreme Auto Repair customers for life. As one woman exclaims in a recent 5-star review, "Thanks for restoring my faith in humanity." The factory-trained technicians at Extreme Auto Repair stay up to date with the manufacturer data for your vehicle's specific make and model for quick, experienced problem solving. klzradio.com/extreme.
All right, Kevin Flesh, Flesh and Beck, and hey, you may have been, speaking of insurance, you may be involved in a insurance battle, claim, somebody's not paying out, the other company's not doing what they should, you've been hit by an uninsured motorist, there's just things not happening quickly enough, whether with your company or another, that's where Kevin comes into play. Give him a call today, get him on your side, 303-806-8886, or again, find him at fleshlawfirm.com, that's F-L-E-S-C-H, fleshlawfirm.com.
Some skills you only develop through practice. In October of this year, Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law celebrates 25 years defending both civil and criminal cases. He has earned the tagline, trial tested, trial ready. In civil cases such as personal injury, your attorney has the burden of proof to persuade a jury that you deserve a certain sum of money in return for your pain and suffering. However, because only a small percentage of personal injury cases go to trial, most personal injury attorneys do not spend much time in the courtroom over the course of their careers. Kevin Flesh stands apart from the rest because he represents both criminal and civil cases. After an estimated couple hundred jury trials, Kevin has learned how a jury reacts to evidence. He knows how to gauge how much money a jury will likely award in your case. Trial tested, trial ready for 25 years. Kevin Flesh of Flesh and Beck Law. Call now for a free consultation. 303-806-8886.
Stay up to date with Rush to Reason after the show on Twitter at Rush to Reason and on Facebook.com/Rush to Reason.
All right, Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560. And again, appreciate everybody joining us today. And that last little bit that I did there on the SB 169. And by the way, that was sponsored by Senator Janet Buckner, who I do not know. Bottom line, as I said earlier, not going to help us when it comes to insurance. Not one way, shape, or form. Why? Because of all the things I said this last go around. Something else that's not going to help, by the way, that was in news today. The Justice Department is announcing new steps to reduce gun violence. We knew that there will be more things coming from Biden. By the way, along those lines, all of you supposed quote-unquote Christians that voted for Joe Biden and Harris, are you happy yet? Any regrets? Like the direction that we're headed? Are you wishing we had Trump back even though he was a mean tweeter and he said things that hurt your feelings? I'm asking Christians, are you happy yet? Do you like the direction we're going? I don't. I think it's awful. This guy's going to do more to take away your freedoms than any president we've seen in recent history, even Obama, for that matter. So the Department of Justice announced on Monday that it's taking steps to reduce gun violence by tackling the use of stabilizing devices that convert pistols into rifles and by publishing model legislation. Key word there, model legislation on red flag laws. We had somebody, I think one of our listeners, and if it's you and you know who you are, call me and you know, tell me that was you. We had somebody say the other day that one of the ways they will figure out a way to take guns from us is with these red flag laws. I, by the way, fully agree. We've had these in Colorado, by the way. And I do believe that as time goes by, these things will get used more and more. So they are going to publish now model legislation so that each state can go through and enact it. The steps follow up on President Biden's executive actions in April, which gave the DOJ 60 days to act on both issues. Today, the Department of Justice announced two new steps to stem the epidemic of gun violence in our country. By the way, it's not. Go look at any of the stats. By the way, look at the correct stats. Not the stats the left put out, but go look at the real stats as to, you know, shootings and what happens there and so on, and you'll realize that, no, it's not an epidemic. And I guess what I could say there is, maybe there's a few of you that live in some different parts of town that maybe you can hear or see a shooting, but I will tell you that for the lion's share of the audience listening right now, you do not live in an area where you're going to have any kind of a shooting that's affecting you. Just, we don't live on the south side of Chicago, folks. An epidemic would mean that on your way home at night, somebody's shooting at you. When you get home, somebody's shooting at you, or they're shooting at the neighbor, or on down the line we go, folks. That's an epidemic of gun violence. We don't have that. This is, again, a play on words by the left and by the Department of Justice. Following through on the president and attorney general's announcement in April of a set of initial actions, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki told reporters on Monday. By the way, isn't she a real piece of work? That's just another comment I made. Don't like her. DOJ issued a notice of proposed rulemaking that makes clear that using devices to convert pistols into short-barreled rifles is subject to the requirement of the NFA, the National Firearms Act, which imposes heightened regulations on short-barreled rifles. By the way, I've never been able to figure out why. Because if you're going to do damage to somebody else, you can do it with any number of weapons on the market, whether they're a short-barreled rifle or a long-barreled pistol or a short-barreled pistol, or you get my drift, folks. I can go down the list. Now, I understand a short-barreled rifle has more accuracy than the typical pistol would have. And you can put, I got to be careful how I say this. I was going to say you can put scopes and do other things on them. Well, you can do the same thing with pistols and have been able to for years and years now as well. So, again, I have to be careful of my own words here because you can outfit most any weapon, quote-unquote, gun today pretty much any way you want depending upon the manufacturer and what you're looking to do. What I mean by that is, you can take a lot of the different makes and manufacturers of guns today, and they have what they now call rails, rail system, where you can mount most anything onto a rail system of a pistol. Flashlight, scopes, any number, you know, different types of sights, any number of things, by the way, can go on them. Now, are they less accurate than a rifle? Yeah, always will be, depending upon who's shooting it, by the way. You could take a novice with a rifle and an expert with a pistol, and the expert with the pistol will still outshoot the novice with the rifle. It's called practice, skill, and so on. So don't let anybody kid you that just because somebody's carrying around, you know, a quote-unquote short-barreled rifle, they're somehow or another more dangerous than someone with a pistol. Not true. Saki noted that the alleged shooter in Boulder used a pistol with an arm brace as a stabilizing device. And by the way, the pistol that he used was a rifle and it was legal to sell. The DOJ also published model legislation for states to craft extreme risk protection orders, which are also known as red flag laws. Those laws authorize the courts to temporarily bar people in crisis from accessing a firearm. Craig's joining us now. Craig, welcome. How are you, sir?
Fine, John. Hey, you know, the old saying, failure to learn from history, you're doomed to repeat it.
Yep.
It's this kind of thinking that got us in trouble in the housing crisis. People that were not creditworthy were given loans by homes.
Yes. Oh, you're talking about the insurance deal that Polis will sign.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Makes sense. Yes.
Yeah. The Clinton administration felt that more people should be homeowners. That the people with lesser credit scores than were considered to be the minimum to be eligible for a home loan, those standards were lowered. Therefore, more people were eligible, and the very people that may not have been creditworthy were granted loans, mm-hmm. and then they were foreclosed on because they couldn't afford to make the payment.
Right.
This is the same kind of thinking with this insurance bill, this car insurance.
Yes, it is. You're correct. Let's help, you know, quote unquote, the disenfranchised, you know, lower their premiums, whatever the case may be. And the reality, Craig, is it's not going to help. And again, at the end of the day, the only body it's really going to hurt are those that have good credit, that have a good score, that do well with their insurance. They don't turn false claims in. You know, all of those things combined are why they get a really good deal. Only body that's going to hurt are those individuals. Am I right?
Correct. Again, Democrats think they can legislate every wrong, everything that they feel is unfair. They think they can legislate unfairness. Well, it's not unfair. That's just, like you said, the way the system has been, your insurance rates were based on your credit worthiness. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the way it's been for you.
Credit, you know, Craig, credit and risk. If you, you know, for example, this is how it works, people. Whether you realize it or not, this is how the algorithms in insurance work. If you have a low credit score and you live in a part of town where there's more known accidents and or more known insurance fraud, Craig, you're going to pay a higher rate. It's just the way it goes. That's perfectly natural,
well,
by the way.
You and I that live in the, you know, the urban corridor, if you want to call it that.
Yeah.
I don't know how far, you know, to the west you live, but you know, where I'm at in Wheat Ridge, we're right smack dab in the middle of, I mean, the traffic right now is fallacious.
Right.
I witnessed my first, well, I didn't see the accident happen, but I knew it was bound to happen. We would have an accident in the new tunnel on I-70. And there was one today, and what a mess.
I can only imagine.
It wasn't any better than when we had the viaduct.
Nope.
You know, when you had an accident on the viaduct, there was no place to pull a car over to deal with the accident until they get that project finished. Then I think they're going to probably allow for some pullover areas to deal with stuff like this.
Right.
But you're more likely to have an accident in the city because of the congestion,
yep.
because of the population, because of the number of cars in the road, and you and I pay more in car insurance than those people do, let's say, out in Lyman, Colorado.
Correct. Correct. Or Grand Junction, or you know, any number of other towns in the state, Craig.
Because of the risk factor.
Correct.
You know?
We are at a higher risk of having an accident. You're correct. And that's just how,
right.
Again, I keep saying this all the time. I don't know why people don't understand it. You know, insurance is based upon actuaries and algorithms and risk, and they're going to adjust accordingly. It's not that complicated.
So I have heard some PSAs being saying that this is going to hurt a lot of people. And for Governor Polis not to sign it, but you think he's going to go ahead and sign it?
I bet he signs it. I would doubt very seriously if he doesn't. Now, who knows? Time will tell. It's really not, whatever the PSAs are, they're correct, because it's not going to help even the people that it's designed to help. All that's going to happen, Craig, is we're all going to pay more money, period. That's how it's going to work.
Sure. Well, yeah, I can't, you know, with a Democratic-dominated state legislature, I can't see Polis going against his own kind, I guess you would say.
I would be, if he does, Craig, I'll be shocked. Let's just say that. I mean, I will be absolutely shocked if he does.
Right. Same here.
So, all right, good stuff. Craig, as always, I appreciate it. You're always a good contributor, and I appreciate it very much. Let's take a quick timeout. Affordable Interest Mortgage is next. Kurt Rogers, and as we just talked about, the meltdown in 2008, you know what? We're in a different time now. You need help. Kurt can help you with what you can do to maximize you know, that equity that's in your house and or a rental property, you know, whatever you're looking to do, that's what he does. That's what Kurt does. Give him a call today, 720-895-0500.
Take aim. Affordable Interest Mortgage has been offering the Asset Manager all-in-one loan for over 11 years. We are experienced in helping homeowners pay thousands less in interest on their mortgage, own their home faster, all without spending one dime more. 720-895-0500. Take AIM, Affordable Interest Mortgage, where we have hundreds of clients that have been using this loans to build their equity faster, access emergency funds when necessary, and pay off their home in 8 to 13 years versus 25 to 30. People initially believe this loan is too good to be true, but it is true. Call 720-895-0500 now to see if you qualify. Loans from $100,000 to $2.5 million, same rate. Ask our previous clients. They will tell you it works. Call 720-895-0500 and work with the experts. This loan has been around since 1965. Affordable Interest Mortgage, where it's all about you. 720-895-0500. Regulated by DORA, NMLS 298191, Equal Credit Lender.
All right, folks, let me give you a little tip. Franktown Firearms, as I read through what the DOJ is going to do with certain firearms, I would highly suggest that if there's something you like, you buy it now. Because if you like that short-barreled rifle, by the way, it may no longer, you know, it may in the near future become illegal to buy. Doesn't mean you won't be able to own it, but it may be very illegal to buy. I would say if you want to buy something along those lines, get it done now, and Franktown can help you with that. 720-770-7777 or klzradio.com.
Teach your children responsibility around guns in a safe, welcoming environment. At Franktown Firearms, everyone shares a common goal: to keep on learning. Responsibility requires practice, so head instructor Karen Murray considers herself a lifelong student as well as a teacher. Karen created her own proprietary training courses so people of all ages may develop confidence with firearms. Now, for the first time, only at Franktown Firearms, children as young as 5 years old may learn to keep themselves and others safe in homes with guns. Starting with Airsoft and BBs, you and your children will develop a healthy respect for firearms together. Sign up for one of Karen's classes as a family at klzradio.com/Franktown. First responders, military veterans, and range members receive discounts in the shop. Franktown Firearms, where friends are made.
GIA Insurance shops the entire market for the right plan at the best price. So they must be more expensive, right? Wrong! All of that valuable market research comes as a free benefit to you from Paul and his team at GIA. Get more without paying more.
It's time to leave your safe space. This is Rush to Reason on KLZ 560.
All right, I believe this is news that just came out here this afternoon, as far as I know, because I hadn't read it before the show today. But JBS, who is the, you know, large meat processing company that had to shut down really all of its plants, it's 30% of the production in the country because of the ransomware attack. It has been come to find out they paid $11 million to the hackers to resolve that. So they paid the equivalent of $11 million to hackers to resolve a ransomware attack that forced the company to shut down its beef plants. That's what JBS USA said. They said in a statement on Thursday, that's today, that it made the decision to mitigate any unforeseen issues related to the attack and ensure no data was exfiltrated. At the time of the payment, the vast majority of the company's facilities were operational. So they evidently knew something in the ransomware itself to where they thought things would have even gotten much worse, and went ahead and decided to pay the $11 million. Folks, this stuff has got to stop. These companies that are out there had better look at spending some money on their own IT infrastructure and thwart these guys. And I will tell you that, and I've said this before and I'll keep saying it, there are a lot of these companies that, in my opinion, are extremely weak in this area, and you're seeing it happen before your eyes. And I'm here to tell you, I'll give you another prediction, not because I'm involved in it, but just because I know what's going to happen. It won't be the last one. You're going to see more and more of this. Why? Because of what I just said. These companies do not have very robust infrastructure. So that's my prediction. You're going to see more of this. So, guys, we're going to get out of here for the night. Have a great evening. Don't forget the National Crawford Roundtable is next. Myself, Charlie, signing off. Have a fabulous evening. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. Rush to Reason, Denver's Afternoon Rush, KLZ 560.